Blog Talk Radio.
Sun's on my back, winds in my ears.
Hello, and welcome to Those Darn Guys Who Happen to Be Therapists. I'm Dr. Jim Weaver, psychologist and e-therapist, along with psychotherapist Hughes Kraft and couples therapist Dr. David Sanford. And we will be boldly going out into the potosphere once again where no therapists have gone before, or failing that, hopefully putting the fun back in dysfunctional and bringing some insights into the issues of life, love, and the search for a decent relationship. And we will be joined once again toward the end of the show by psychologist Dr. Mark Kiefner, clinical director of Bayside Neuro-Rehabilitation Services, with some cutting-edge brain research called A Minute on the Mind. Hello, David. Hello, Hughes.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Hughes.
Hello, Jim. Hello, David.
So,
we're covered
now.
We're all here and ready to go to talk about today's subject, which is power, legitimate and illegitimate, and how it affects relationships. I'll start off with one of my regular rants, which is that the idea of relationships is to come to win-win solutions. Robert Wright has a book called Non-Zero Sum, and it really is the same concept, and that is, there's something in this for both parties, and he takes this even to international levels. I think it works at international levels. I think it works at personal levels, that you try to come to a win-win situation where there's something in it for both parties. And if you're not coming to a win-win situation, you're either, you know, not participating, or there's some illegitimate imbalance of power. So I'll start off with that. What do you think about that, Hughes?
I'm just kind of still struggling with the legitimate and illegitimate parts of power or control.
Okay.
We're talking about control, right?
Control, power, yeah.
Well, power, I kind of use them interchangeably a little bit. I think it's partly in every relationship. It's underneath and part of every relationship, whether people kind of feel it and see it overtly or whether they kind of ignore it and just kind of let it kind of do its thing. But I think it is a part of every relationship and part of differential that can go on that can lead to disharmony in the relationship. So, I think it's a healthy thing to kind of look at how do you turn that into a win-win situation, how to bring some health into a discussion or a balance of power in a relationship. I think a lot of ways it kind of gets a lot of negativity around that word of control and power. But you know, there's a real positive side to it, especially when you do honor it in a way of leading to a win-win, meaning that you know we're getting something done here in the relationship and everybody's getting an easement.
Right.
So that's my rant for the moment.
It's time to rant, David. It's your turn to rant.
It's your turn to control, David.
This isn't a rant, but it's a distinction. Power over and power to.
Mm-hmm.
Power over being the illegitimate use of power. Power to being the legitimate use. Power as in the ability to accomplish something. You know, I have the power to get myself a cup of coffee if I want. That kind of power, too, is completely legitimate. And in fact, without it, there isn't life at all. I think that there a good distinction is to develop this notion of legitimate and illegitimate a little bit more. So I'll just say a couple of words about the nature of legitimate power, at least as I see it, which goes considerably beyond getting yourself a cup of coffee. In a relationship, each person legitimately has the power to be an independent person, to make decisions for himself or herself, to say no, to whatever degree possible, to be a free agent in the relationship, so that you can have a part of that is to have a code for yourself, what you agree to do, what you don't agree to do. So a form of self-love certainly is to be clear on legitimate power that you possess or are endeavoring to possess, and to exercise it.
One of the definitions of health in Gestalt therapy and Gestalt therapy theory is being able to say no, and having the power, I guess we could put it in those words, having the power to say no to what's toxic and to say yes to what's nurturing and fulfilling. And I think that each party in the relationship, it's a striving to be able to be as clear about those kinds of things as you can. I think it's difficult in a relationship if someone has too little power or someone has too much power. So it's trying to get equal, I think, and proportional to the other person in the relationship, so that each person has the power, has the ability to get their needs met. So if someone's coming on and being too powerful, then I think it's the option of the other person to have their power be proportional to that other person, and sometimes to create what I would call a creative stalemate. And that is, okay, you've got your needs, I've got my needs, we're both bringing them to the table. Now, we can't both get our needs met as we're, right now conceiving of it. So how do we have a creative solution so that I'm not abusing my power and taking away from your needs, and you're not taking away from my needs? It's a dialogue that needs to happen, I think.
Certainly for a healthy relationship, that's true. I mean, there are relationships that are formed and continue out of a tacit understanding that you're the boss and I'm the follower.
Right.
You're going to take care of me because I feel that for whatever reason I can't take care of myself. And I'm going to get taken care of, and you're going to get to be the person who leads us around.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying that isn't. You're saying that's an unhealthy relationship. Wouldn't you guys agree with that? That's an unhealthy relationship.
And that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It may not be that really obvious. I mean, in that example that you just put out here, David, I think it's important maybe to kind of flush out what that may look like dynamically. And we can have a protector, we can have someone who's always come to the rescue of someone else, controlling, always driving the car, always in charge of the money routine at home, always responding to invitations by neighbors. It can be the person who's doing most of the work.
I think there's situations. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just wondering if you guys could hear me, because some audio was happening on my side, but it sounds like we're still hooked in. So go ahead.
Yeah. No,
it's getting better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was going to say, but let me go to abuse of power for a little bit. I think that's when you diminish the other person. You use your power to diminish or deny their dignity, their humanity, or their ability to reach their potential. And if you're using your power that way, then that's an abuse of the person and an abuse of your power. And that's the obligation on the other person on the other side of that is to say, stop, no, these are my boundaries. I'm saying no to that because that's toxic to me if you're doing that to me. We have a caller. Go ahead. I was going to say we have a caller. Let's check in with them and see what they've got to say here. Hello, caller. Oops, they went away. When I clicked on them, they went away. Okay. They had their hand up. They wanted to make ask a question or whatever, but anyway.
How about some distinctions?
Okay.
How about some examples of different kinds of power over? Okay?
Yep.
There are threats. Taking threats first. If you continue to talk that way, you're not going to have me around very long. And obviously, in abusive relationships, the exercise of power and the threats get to be dangerous.
Right.
Another one is punishment.
I think that's a huge one. I think people threatening to leave the relationship is a huge abuse of power. Rather than say we've got something we need to work out here between the two of us. So, I hear that from a number of clients or couples that I work with, and you have to make a contract or a decision that you're not going to do that until we have some dialogue and discussion about what's not working. Go ahead, David.
Punishment. Punishment.
Right.
I'm not, and they don't have to announce that they're doing it. You've had an argument, you've gotten your way, and your partner doesn't speak to you for a week.
Right. That's a very powerful one, by the way, is withdrawing, withholding, not communicating.
Yep.
I think it's the Quakers, right, what's called shunning. And in that way, somebody breaks the rules of the community. Nobody in the whole community speaks to them, and it's very powerful to get people to do what you want them to do. We don't like to be ignored.
Manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
Manipulation is another one. And both manipulation and punishment, well, any of these, in fact, depend upon the fact that as people know each other better and better, they know each other's weaknesses, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know where the pressure can be applied to get the other person to go along or to agree to what it is that you want.
Right.
So they're all exploitative. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, David.
Well, I think, manipulation, pressure, all these are exploitation of different forms of weaknesses. They're all ways in which the weak part of the relationship is abandoned in favor of I have these needs, I have these wants, and I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them met. I'm going to be on you about this until you finally surrender and give in.
Mm-hmm.
So to the degree that that's practice, the true relationship aspect equals dealing with each other. The true relationship aspect of the two people as partners that is really, really undermined and damaged badly when it's power too.
Right.
Or rather, power over.
Right. I want to go back to what Hughes was talking about earlier, which was the positives of power. And I think sometimes, one person in the relationship has more capacity in certain areas than the other. Somebody's much better at dealing with the finances or the bills. And so you defer, some of your autonomy to them and around those kinds of issues. They have sort of more power in that area. And it's an acknowledgement that they're doing it for the benefit of you and for the relationship and for both of you. So you can rely on somebody's power at that time. Yeah, Hughes.
Yeah, and I think we changed the word there from power. Well, maybe the word is power, maybe it's not control. How does that play out in your relationship.
Yeah.
Money obviously is a very powerful one, and maybe one partner is better than the other in fiscal acuity, and so of that category of the relationship. But are they using it in a responsible way or in a controlling way?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, there's different ways to really kind of look at it. If one person is feeling slighted, left out, or in the dark, or you know, kind of abused by the other person's responsible to the money, they need to talk about it. They need to figure out a way to kind of bring that to the table somehow.
Right. And I think for some people in a relationship, that you have to kind of bring up or come up with your power. That sometimes you're too weak or too acquiescing or too allowing of the other person to take control, and that your growth area is to is to come more to the table with who you are, what your needs are, and how you want to go about that. Now let's go to a caller. I think the caller's back. Hello, caller. Yeah, caller. Yes.
To take control, and that your growth area is to, is to come more to the table with who you are, what your needs are, and how you want to go about that. Now let's go to a caller. I think the caller's back. Hello, caller. Yeah, caller. Yes. To take control.
Hello.
And that your growth area.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I think we've got some feedback.
We've got a lot of feedback, too.
Yeah, yeah. Caller, turn off your volume there, because we're getting feedback from your...
Okay.
Hello?
Okay. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you've got it. We're getting
a lot of feedback, too.
Yeah, there's a delay.
We're having four discussions at once.
We're not going to be able to do that because somehow there's some feedback. I'll try you again in a little minute, caller. What I would ask you to do is, if there's any, if your speakers are on, the speaker is coming through your microphone, and that's why we're getting double feedback, I think. So anyway, War on Power, David Hughes.
War on Power, one of the topics we haven't covered.
Can I?
Sure.
I want to complicate it a little bit and bring up a situation, and you guys say how you see this situation. Let's imagine that a division of labor arises in a marriage without the two people talking about it in advance. It just turns out that one person starts to buy the food, and the other person says fine. And it goes on that way. Well, without ever discussing it, the one who buys the food is now in charge of the food. This person buys food of a certain sort. I mean, let's say that it's sort of certified organic or whatever it might be. It's food of a certain sort. And no objection from the other partner. But pretty soon, let's say that an occasion arises in which the other partner does the shopping herself or himself and buys a different kind of food, you know, Fruit Loops or whatever it might be. And then the one who is the accepted food buyer in effect says, I don't want that kind of food in the house. We don't have that kind of food in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to the Fruit Loops? I threw them away.
Mm-hmm.
You know the kind of food we've been eating for a year now. We don't have that. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Legitimate on the part of the person who is generally the food buyer, or illegitimate? What would you say?
I would say obviously illegitimate. And what's missing there is a discussion about, you know, what are the needs of each person, and coming to some compromise about that. I don't think anybody saying something by fiat like that is exhibiting legitimate power. The person who bought the Fruit Loops, I think there's probably another issue going on there in terms of they entered the person's realm who was the food buyer without saying, I want to do something else for myself. Would you include this on your grocery list? No. Well, let's talk about that. Or I'm gonna get this for myself, and that's my decision because I'm an independent person. And how do we reconcile that? And the person might say, Fruit Loops are really not good for you. They've got a lot of sugar in them, etc. And you can you say, well, I understand that, but I'm taking responsibility as a as an adult to make my own decision about whether that or, I'm only going to eat them from time to time. There's something I was really, loved as a kid. They have a very big nostalgic value for me. And that discussion goes on until you come to, hopefully, a win-win resolution. Go ahead, Jess.
Go ahead.
I think Jim summed that one up as totally illegitimate, and the issue really lies in choices. And the power of eating healthier is a discussion item for the couple, and is a choice about what are we going to choose to bring home. And if I choose to exercise and I want to have some Fruit Loops for a week, I should have the power to be able to do that within the context of my household. Now, on the joking side, I've learned to hide my Fruit Loops in the trunk of my car. But anyway, so go ahead, David.
I'm going to sort of stick with the other point of view, even though I don't fully accept it, just so that we can stay with this for a little bit. So, first, two things. The first is that particular hypothetical couple needs to do something with legitimately needs to do something that I think is pretty damn rare in relationships. That is that they have to have what you could call a meta conversation. They have to have a conversation about the way we do things around here.
Mm-hmm.
And running through everything we're saying is the implied position that you to have a successful relationship, it has to be a conscious relationship, and you have to not simply assume or let things become a habit without examining them. You have to live consciously together. So the couple in my example simply fell into, as most of us do, different roles in which one person is in charge of the food,
right?
And that person could say, well, why are you complaining now? I mean, that's not legitimate.
We lost David. Okay. So, Hughes, it's you and me with the Fruit Loops. And I wanted to go back to the Fruit Loops in the trunk of the car. Tell me more about that.
I was just adding a little humor in there. I mean, that doesn't work either. That's me exercising my own power and control by not being honest and holding out from my wife, from my choice of wanting to have Fruit Loops in the house, or maybe just for a week or whatever. And that's not fair either, and that's me exercising an unhealthy, illegitimate sense of power and control.
Well, yeah, so, except that I think it comes from a feeling that you don't have enough power to stand up. You don't have enough power to stand up to that person, and so you decide that you're going to sneak into getting your needs met, rather than being powerful enough to do it directly.
I think you hinted a bigger issue here, that a lot of times when somebody is overextending a sense of powerfulness, that it is coming from a place of powerlessness, that there's something more bigger going on that maybe not evident. We got Mr. Kiefner coming in today.
We've got him. I think he's on the line right now. Is that you, Mark?
I'm here.
Yeah, me too.
David's back. Yeah, we lost you, David.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah. Hi, Mark.
Hi, David. Hi, Hughes. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Mark.
So what do you think about all this, Dr. Kiefner? Power.
I think you guys are a bunch of Fruit Loops.
Thank you very much.
No, I was keying off the David's notion of consciousness in relationships, mm-hmm. I was at a conference. I was giving a talk at a conference last week where people were talking about dealing with trauma, and they were and what we got to talking about was kind of limbic brain versus cortical brain, which. You know, if you, depending on which map you're using, sort of maps out as a kind of emotional versus logical, or conscious versus unconscious, or assertive versus aggressive. Aggressive being limbic, assertive being cortical. So, it just got me thinking about how oftentimes when we are exerting power in an aggressive kind of way, we're really operating out of a much more primitive kind of state, usually out of some kind of self-preservation mode. And so it just got me thinking about that. And so it might be helpful. I think a lot of times I struggle with this myself, actually, which is that I'll have an emotional reaction which will just get me upset, distressed, and, you know, I'll brood about that, or I'll drive and be ticked off about it. And it takes a while for me to kind of ground myself and have first to kind of get my mind off whatever it is that was bothering me, and then secondly, to figure out what's happening in my body, because those kinds of things really come from our body as much as they come from our minds.
Mm-hmm. I think. Let me see if I can correct about what you're saying. You go into this limbic state, which is kind of a fight or flight
exactly.
state. I think the flight is the one putting the Fruit Loops in the trunk of the car. The fight is, we're going to have the food this way. And if you can step back from that fight or flight and go into a more cortical kind of negotiating mode in terms of, what's good here for me, what's good here for you, what's good for us, what's good for everybody. Hey, listen, guys, once again, we're out of time. Great subject, lots of great ideas, and I'll exert my power here and say we got to go.
All right.
Have a good week, everybody.
See you guys.
Okay, great.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.